Today is Gaur Purnima. It marks the new year for the devotees. This is the beginning of our Vaishnava calendar. So we all will all take our New Year's resolutions. We've already made our resolutions, actually. Lifetime resolutions. We don't need any new resolutions. Our life began, really, when we took to Krishna consciousness, specifically the moment of initiation, when we make our resolutions, our lifetime resolutions, that we will abstain from all sinful activity and will always engage in transcendental activity by following the instructions of the Yuga Avatar, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to always chant Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Let us resolve ourselves to go deeper into the chanting and following in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to distribute that chanting so that he'll be happy. Yesterday we were discussing how Kaviraj Goswami was discussing how Mahaprabhu came as the gardener and planted the seed of bhakti, Braja Bhakti, in this world through the chanting of Hare Krishna. And he cultivated that creeper for the benefit of all the living entities. So we will take advantage of that and follow his instructions. This is a good day for meditating on our resolutions, reconfirming ourselves to the process of Krishna consciousness. So this is a very short program, of course, because we have two major programs today. We have our program downtown, and then we have our program at Srivasangam, our internal program, our temple this evening. So to speak briefly from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, Chapter 6. It looks like we're going to do text 29. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhaktavrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhaktavrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhaktavrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhaktavrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
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 Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Kali Yuga Lila Avatar Nakari Bhagavan Ata eva triyuga kari kahi taranam. In this age of Kali, there is no Leela avatar of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is known as Triyuga. Prabhupada used to say Joga, as a Bengali accent. Triyuga. Triyuga. That is one of his holy names, Triyuga. Triyuga means he who appears in three ages. But there's four ages. Purport. A Leela avatar is an incarnation of the Lord who performs a variety of activities without making any special endeavor. He always has one pastime after another, all full of transcendental pleasure. And these pastimes are fully controlled by the Supreme Person. The Supreme Person is totally independent of all others in these pastimes. While teaching Sanatana Goswami, Mahaprabhu pointed out that one cannot count the number of Leela avatars. Leela avatara Krishnara Nayaya Ghanana Pradana Kariya Kahi Dig Darshanaha. However, the Lord told Sanatana, I shall explain the chief Leela avatars. Matsyakuma Raghunatha Nasringa Vamana Varahadi Leka Yanra Nayaya Gana. Thus the Lord's incarnations were enumerated, including Matsya, Hurma, Ram, Nasringa, Vamana, Vraha. Thus there were innumerable Leela avatars, and all of these exhibit wonderful pastimes. Lord Vraha, the boar incarnation, lifted the entire earth from the depths of the Garbhodak ocean. The tortoise incarnation, Kunamadev, became a pivot for the emulsification of the whole sea, and Lord Narsingadev appeared as half man, half lion. These are some of the wonderful and uncommon features of Leela avatars. In his book Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Sri Rupa Goswami has enumerated the following 25 Leela avatars: Chatushana, Narada, Varaha, Matsya, Yagna, Naranarayan, Kapila, Dattatreya, Hadashirsha, Hayagriva, Hamsha, Prishnigarbha, Rishabh, Pritu, Nisringa, Kurma, Danvantari, Mohini, Vamana, Parasurama, Raghavendra, Vyasa, Balaram, Krishna, Buddha, and finally Kalki. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not mentioned as a Leela avatar because he is an incarnation in disguise, Jana avatar. In this age of Kali, there are no Leela avatars, but there's an incarnation of the Lord manifested in the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This has been nicely explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Oma gyan timadandasya ginangana shalakaya chaksuninilitam jenatas maya sigurume namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manovishnam shtapitam jenagutale shvayam rupa kadamayam vidanti svapadantikam. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Bhagavanityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. A very nice explanation of the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he's not listed as one of the Leela avatars. There's Rupa Goswami in his Laghu Bhagavatamrita, he lists 25 Leela avatars. They come from mainly from Vaikuntha, although Krishna is also listed as Leela avatar from Goloka. And they perform their self-same activities that they perform in the spiritual sky. They perform their leelas, their pastimes, on the stage of material existence to attract us back to the spiritual world. People like to go to theater to be entertained, and certain emotions come from the heart. Actually, this is the whole purpose of theater, actually, to bring forth some emotion. So therefore we have our spiritual theater, Papa said, which brings forth spiritual emotions. But either witnessing these pastimes or even hearing about these pastimes of the Lord evoke a sense of Krishna consciousness or love for the Lord. And that's the purpose. The same activities that he performs in Goloka become manifest in Gokul, Vrindavan. Goloka is the spiritual world, and when those pastimes are manifested on the earth planet in India, near Delhi, Vrindavan, that's called Gokul. And therefore the Acharyas conclude there's no difference between Gokul and Goloka. It's just the same pastimes, but being performed in different ways to enchant our heart. Actually, it's like, you could say, modern vernacular language, Krishna's showing off. He can do that because he's God. We look funny when we try to imitate God. It's very artificial, out of place. We're not masters, we're servants. And when the servant tries to imitate the master, at best it's humorous. So we can never be master. Our perfection is to be good servants. That's as far as you can go. Sorry. But that's wonderful. To be the servant of a glorious master is something very wonderful. There's Ashraya there, Ashrayapati, that Lord who is the best shelter. Like the Lord's representative is also, being the Lord's representative, he's also a shelter. Prabhupada was walking on the beach one time in Juhu, in India, Bombay, and he pointed out the devotees, different dogs who were on the beach, and some of them were skinny and scraggly and diseased and didn't have their hair. They were going through the garbage and snapping at each other. Then there was another dog on a leash, as you see is common now in India. They have their private dogs, pedigree dogs from the West. They import them. from England or America. But Prabhupada said to the devotees, what's the difference between these dogs? He said, well, one, those dogs are all looking not very nice. That one's looking very nice. He said, these dogs in the garbage, they have no master. But that dog on the leash, he's very fatty and he's fluffy and he's got a little smile. He said, because he has a master taking care of him. So this is our glory, our glorious position is to become the servants of Krishna, not to become Krishna. We can't show off like God. God can come and show off. And that's very nice, because by doing so, he's attracting us back home, back to Godhead. So that is the purpose of the Leela avatar. Innumerable Leela avatars coming from Vaikuntha and from Goloka. They come and they show us the reality. We're here in the perverted reflection. But if you go to the theater and you see some Krishna conscious play, then some real emotion comes from the heart. And you become happy. Savai pumsham pada dharmo yato bhaktir doksaje ahaitakya patiyata yayatma shuprashidati. The Bhagavatam emphatically states, the supreme occupation for mankind is that by which one can attain loving devotional service to God. Such service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted. And if it is, yayatma supersedity, you'll be fully satisfied. Like shantushti means completely happy. Completely happy. So that those emotions begin when we come in contact with Krishna consciousness. So this stage is set, the material world. And the Lord comes and he performs the leelas here. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, and he says, in one sense, the Lord's pastimes are even more attractive in the material world than they are in the spiritual world. How could that be? Well, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the example of when you do a stage production. Those of you who are, know about the performing arts, most of you are IT technology. Computer science and like this, engineers. But there's also the performing arts. And in performing arts, when you have a stage show, one of the techniques is you have a dark background. And then when the people come on and they perform, it's kind of like the contrast. You can see them very easily. I know when we started our festival program in Poland, you know, we were all new to the performing arts. Didn't know anything about it, actually. To learn this real culture of Krishna consciousness. But what I did first is to make the stage very attractive, made everything very colorful, and we did one of those beautiful pipli, those backdrops from pipli with all the variety of colors and mirrors, and I put that as a backdrop on the stage. I thought, this is very nice. And then, you know, our first act came on, and they were Bharatanatyam dancers in very beautiful, colorful outfits. But it's like a green bird merging into a green tree. You couldn't see them because they were colorful in the backdrop, but they kind of merged into the backdrop and you had to kind of focus. All those flashing colors. Are they there? Are they not there? Somehow, there they go. So then, you know, didn't know what to do, so I called up the authority. I called up a very famous theater in Warsaw and got a few ideas. And the guy said, the first thing is have a dark background. He said, in theater, generally the background is black. I said, black? I mean, it's black. He said, just do it. So we did it, and we had the wings, you know, the wings where the performers are behind. And then the same dancers came on next week, a dazzling display. It was just like, so beautiful because of the dark background. And the man said, he said, so how was your production? I said, very nice. He said, so it's like you take a diamond, he said, and you want to sell the diamond and you put it on a white piece of cloth on your table at the market. People can't really see it, can't appreciate it. He said, but put some dark blue velvet, dark green velvet, and put the diamond there and see how the beauty comes out. So that's, you know. So then later on I read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur statement that the Lord's pastimes in the material world are even more attractive than the spiritual world. Because he said of the dark background of material existence. This world is tamasic. Tamas means darkness, the darkness of ignorance. So by nature, this world is dark. If it wasn't for the eyes of the Lord in the form of the sun and the moon, we wouldn't have any light. Actually, that light of the sun and the moon, Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam, the part about creation, said that's the reflection of the Brahman, which is the effulgence of the Lord. So when a devotee sees the beautiful moonlight and the bright sunshine, he immediately thinks of Krishna. Opulences of the Absolute is one chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the 11th chapter. It's 11th? 10th. 10th chapter. Opulence of the Absolute. When devotees see something wonderfully extraordinary in this world, he immediately thinks of Krishna. So this world is dark by nature. It's dark. But it's lit up by the mercy of the Lord. And it's all, darkness is also compared to ignorance. More important, according to our philosophy, or more, we emphasize more than just the darkness, is the darkness of ignorance. Oma gyan timarandasya ginam gina shalakaya chaksuri militam jenatas mayasi gudame namaha. I offer my most humble obeisances to my spiritual master. I was standing in the darkness of ignorance, but he has opened my eyes with the torch of transcendental knowledge. So we don't see the world with these eyes. We see through the eyes of Scripture. So we're in this world for some time more. So we have to hear regularly from Guru and Krishna to see things properly. So the dark background of material existence, when Krishna comes, those pastimes are highlighted, you could say. They're highlighted due to the background of the darkness. And also because they take on a special quality in that they're being performed for the deliverance of the conditioned soul. So it's very exciting. It's like the rescue mission. Everyone likes a good rescue. Right? Someone's in danger. It's a common theme in theater as well. There's different themes. They're repeated again and again, but people don't really know the science of it. It's all the science of rasa, really. Perverted rasa, but the hero and the heroine. How there's the rescue scene. Can we turn that phone off until we're finished? Just kill it. Unplug it. Yes, the hero and the heroine, that the famous, you know, story that the cowboys and Indians, and the cowboys are surrounded by 10,000 Indians, and then it looks like it's all over, and then ta-da-da-da-da-da-da. Of course, this is all kind of our 1950s American television. I don't think that you probably know anything about this because you don't watch television, and it's another era now, but the cavalry would come and rescue the cowboys from the Indians. Sometimes it didn't happen. Custer's last stand. Custer was annihilated, but it's all part of that ras, perverted ras. So the Lord comes to the material world and he performs these leelas for the purpose of rescuing. There's a special flavor to it, that he's performing it, dancing with his milkmaids or frolicking with his cowherd boys, or there's so many leelas like that. And but the actual added incentive is that it's meant to attract the conditioned soul. So this is Lila Avatar. Krishna comes as he is, performing the Lila. And he does that in three yugas. He does that in Satya Yuga, he does that in Treta Yuga, and he does that in Dwapara Yuga. Therefore he's called Tri Yuga Avatar. Avatar means when it descends. Tri means three. Ek, do, trin, ek, do, teen, tri, anyway, somehow. He comes in three ages as Bhagavan. Yada yadahi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata adbhutanam dharma. Whenever there's a decline in religion and a rise in irreligion, I descend myself. Millennium after. Paritranaya sadhanam vinashaya tuduskritam. To rescue my devotees, to annihilate the demons, and reestablish the principle. This is the duty of the Leela avatars. So, but there's no mention that God comes in the Kali Yuga. Actually, he does, but at the very end. He comes at the very end of it all. In Kali, he comes as Kalki. But there's no rescuing devotees. There's no paritranaya sada. It's all vinashaya tatuskritam. There's no dharma samstapanartaya. That's, you know, everyone's had their chance. You know, you've had your chance, and you blew it. So off with your head. Like Marie Antoinette, she said, let them eat cake. You know the French history, the royalty was abusing the masses of people, and they were living very extravagantly. And, you know, eating caviar, which is fish eggs, and frogs, and this is the French, old French custom, wine, and these disgusting things. Very, very expensive. And the people didn't even have bread. So they came to the palace, to the walls at Versailles, la Palais de Versailles, la route de Versailles. Mademoiselle, s'il vous plaît, le pain. Donnez-nous le pain. Please give us bread. She heard this from her servant. She said, let them eat cake. At least that's what's attributed to her. Let them eat cake, which is kind of a... They didn't even have bread. She's just, let them, she was so proud and out of contact with her people. So they rebelled. They stormed the palace. And they took her and they took the guillotine. So at the very end of Kali Yuga, there's no devotees left. There's some devotees towards the end, but Bhagavatam's 12th canto says, where are those devotees living? They're living in caves out of fear, because we think it's bad now. Sometimes people make some comments, but and at the end, no one will listen. Person convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So the false ego becomes so strong. Sinful activity covers the consciousness so much, there's absolutely zero tolerance for God. Now they have zero tolerance for drugs and things. Is it no, zero tolerance for drugs? No. End of Kali, zero tolerance for God. Whoa, who wants to live there? See, Prabhupada said there, one devotee said, Prabhupada, I want to come back birth after birth, a distributor of books. Prabhupada said, are you crazy? That's a nice sentiment to want to serve the spiritual master, but better serve in the spiritual world, because this Kali Yuga, it's going to get worse. It's already gotten worse, at least in my lifetime. Us, troisième âge, we say in French. The troisième means three. Me and Dharmatma and Mother Dwija Priya, sorry Maharaji. We're the troisième âge. We're the old people. What we've seen, how Kali Yuga has degraded in our lifetimes. What was completely atrocious and sinful and immoral, now it's like, you know, commonplace. Things have changed. So Prabhupada said, better go back to Godhead as quickly as... Take advantage of this unique opportunity afforded by Lord Chaitanya, that you can develop the Braj Bhakti, the highest quality of love, and go back home, back to Godhead. So Kalki comes. So he's listed as a Leela avatar, but because he comes at the very 11th hour, he comes at the 11th hour, and there's 60 minutes left. They have that show, 60 minutes. So 60 minutes are left. So he's only chopping. He comes on a horse, and he has his sword, and he's justice personified, the rod of chastisement. But you could say, because he's coming at the end, there's no Leela avatar, but there's a Channa avatar. That's why in India, if you were to go around India and discuss Matsya, Kurma, Nisringa, Vamande, Parasurama, the Leela avatars, everyone knows. Well, at least they used to know. Now they know Britney Spears and Steve Jobs and Bill Gates and Mickey Mouse. And Mickey Mouse, Mickey Mouse, na 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 na. It's mainly Indians, they want to go on pilgrimage to Disneyland. They don't want to go on pilgrimage to Braj. I met one family, they live in Delhi, and they'd never been to Vrindavan. They were saving up to go to Disneyland. I said, wow, what a perverted reflection that is. So, therefore, because of the situation, because as we know, each age the interest in spiritual life deteriorates from 100% to 75% to 50%, Satya Treta Dipura. And Bhagavatam says in Kali Yuga only 25% of the people are interested. But I think that figure has drastically deteriorated in the first 5,000 years of an age which lasts 432,000 years. It's amazing. So therefore, the Lord, He can't come in Kali Yuga as a Leela avatar, because rather than follow Him, people would want to imitate Him, because the disease of material existence, the disease of the cardinal sin of the living entity is to want to imitate God out of envy. That's the root cause. It's like you have your root drive, you have your hard drive in your computer, and then you have your applications, and you have your home. I'm learning all this on my Mac. But the hard drive, the central thing, is that we, Bahirmukha, turned our face from God, envious, envy. So we discussed that yesterday, the ghost story. So we can't tell it again, but I'll save it for Laguna Beach. Anyway, so I like that story, the ghost story, envy. So therefore, if God were to come in Kali Yuga, people would just imitate Him. They wouldn't want to follow Him. So He has to be a little tricky. There's a Bengali proverb. I forget the Bengali, but if you're dealing with someone who's a cheat, to be successful, you have to be also a cheater. So sometimes devotees have to be diplomatic, not for the purpose of, you know, like someone's diplomatic in politics to gain something, but diplomatic to give something, to give Krishna consciousness. And the Goswamis, as renounced as they were, and pure as they were very good diplomats. Sanatan Rupa Goswami, they worked in the government of, I was going to say to Saddam Hussein. Nawab Hussein. Was it Saddam Hussein? Saddam Hussein. Reincarnation. Couldn't be, because he got purified by Rama. The Nawab. And they were chosen, actually. They were so expert in material affairs that the Nawab noticed that and wanted to employ them in his government. So he said, you Vaishnavas, come serve in my government. So for a pure Vaishnava, a Brahmin, to serve in a Muslim government, you were ostracized from the Brahmin community, because by association you became contaminated. So they refused. So the Nawab said, if you don't serve in my government, not only will I cut off your heads, but I'll harass all the Vaishnavas in my domain. I'll kill them all. So it's kind of like blackmail. So Sanatan Goswami became the chief minister in the Nawab's government. Rupa Goswami was in charge of the treasury, which is the heart. And Anupam, their younger brother who died, who passed away early in the pastimes, he was a Ram Bhakta. He was in charge of minting the coins, producing the money, like that. So especially Sanatan, he was the elder brother. Sanatan Goswami was just a brilliant in that activity. It's so much so, I always tell him to turn off my phone. Okay, I'll call him back later. Okay, I don't know how to turn it off. Let's go outside and turn, because he's going to call right back. So you better go turn it off. Where was I? The Nawab, yeah. So, huh?
He was minting. In charge of
minting. Yeah, the king used to... Sanatana Goswami was so expert at managing that the king could leave the palace and go to war, like, for example, this was in Bengal, Ram Kali. So he would go to war sometimes to Orissa and fight Maharaj Pataparudra. But Maharaj Pataparudra was very powerful because he was a devotee. But turn that one off too. Turn all the phones off. All the babies and all the phones you turn off. So he, but he felt so confident because Sanatana Goswami was so expert. So then they used the same expertise to escape the government. That's another story, of course. Sanatana Goswami was thrown in jail, and then he used some ruse to trick the guard. You let me out, I'll give you 10,000 gold coins. But sir, I have my head. Just say I went to the river while answering the call of nature, and I fell on the Ganga, drowned. So it wasn't straightforward. Devotees are supposed to be straightforward and very honest, but for the purpose of Krishna consciousness, some diplomacy was. So that's there in the Lord. He also comes sometimes to the material world, and he's dealing with very dishonest people. Us, I hate to say it. But from Brahma down to the ant, everyone's a little devious. We've turned away from God. We're ungodly to greater or lesser degrees. We hear how even Brahma, one time he came attracted to his own daughter, Vak. She had taken the form of a deer and he became a stag. And he was chasing after his own daughter for sex. What is that called? Insect? Incest. It's one of the most heinous crimes. You get so many years for that in jail. But the weakness was there. Of course, it was a pastime and our Brahma is ahead of our Sampradaya. But just to show how contamination is all pervading in this world. So to deal with that class of people, the Lord has to use a little ruse. He comes in a disguised form. Hiranyakashipu was so intelligent, he managed to conquer Surya, Indra, Vamana, all the devatas who were so intelligent, they administered this creation. Everything that's going on, all the functions of material nature, they're not acting according to the laws of nature. They're not mechanical. There's a personality behind every function of nature. And that means the whole cosmos. There's a person behind all demigods. We shouldn't criticize the demigods. They're devotees. Maybe they're not pure devotees, but they're beyond us. Attain such a high status. And Hiranyakashipu, he'd conquered them. That means he was more than intelligent than them, because to be victorious you have to be more intelligent, not just more powerful, you have to be strategically, you have to be able to wage the war strategically. It's not just might is right. Some intelligence how to win the battle is there. He conquered the devatas. He was in charge of Svargaloka. He was sitting on the throne of Indra. That was Indra's throne. He was sitting there, ruling the universe. So, he's very intelligent. Very intelligent. Of course, his intelligence is polluted by... So, Lord, he appeared in a disguised form. Has he taken a benediction that he thought he would become immortal? But Lord tricked him in just so many ways that he appeared as half man, half lion. There was one incarnation of Nrisingadev. There was a demon called Nemi. And Nemi, he had heard, because this pastime took place in the beginning of the universe when Nrisingadev appeared from the pillar and killed Hiranyakashipu. So this Nemi thought he was so intelligent that he would also become immortal. So he proposed to the demigods the same boons as Hiranyakashipu, but he also said that he wouldn't be killed by any watery weapon or any fiery weapon. He included a few other things. And air. So then he did so many nasty things, but Nrisingadev appeared from foam. because foam is neither liquid nor air nor fire, something in between. So it's something like this. So he tricked him. So anyway, Lord, he uses his intelligence. He's the most intelligent too. And also, as he appeared in disguised form as Vamanadeva, because his devotee Bali Maharaj had become overwhelmed with the due to the association of the non-devotees, the demons, and he had acquired so much wealth and so forth and so on. So Lord walked into his palace in disguised form. Disguised as what? A little boy, Vamanadeva. Prabhupada mentions that little children, you know, they pretty much have a carte blanche, a free pass anywhere, because they're just kids. You're having some meeting, some strategic meeting, very important, right? Some gentleman walks in, excuse me, sir, we're having a meeting. But some little girl walks in, you know, cute little 7-year-old girl, come on, yeah, just... Nobody knows, she's playing in a corner, gives her daddy a little hug or something, nobody notices, the children. So he appeared as a child and he walked into the court of Bali Maharaj and said, I'm a little Brahmin boy, can you give me something? So Bali said, just take three steps. I want three steps of your kingdom. One, two, three, take whatever you want. Then he expanded as Trivikram. There in South India, where is that place? Where the, huh? No, on the eastern coast, where Ramanuja had his temples. It starts with the Kanchipuram. In Kanchipuram, there's that huge deity of Vamanadeva, black stone. You walk in, you're only up to his ankles here. And you look up, and that deity just goes like so high, 100 feet high. So he took three steps. He took the kingdom, and then the entire universe, and then the last step he put on the head of Bali Maharaj. So he tricked him. The Lord's very tricky. And let's see, what other incarnation was there? Oh, Buddha. Buddha appeared. He defied the Vedas, because people were misusing the Vedas. So he said, don't listen to this, listen to me. So his followers were considering themselves not followers of the Vedas, but they were following he who gave the Vedas, Krishna, in the form of Buddha. So it was all a trick. So anyway, in conclusion, Lord, in this age, he also appears as a Chana avatar. He appears in a, what disguise does he take? He comes as a devotee. And he teaches us the process of his... of devotion. And he exhibits all the qualities of a devotee as well. What is a devotee's, the crest jewel of all devotees' qualities? His humility. We admire devotees. They may be very qualified, but despite being so qualified, they remain very humble. Lord Chaitanya was very humble. When he was Nimai Pandit, he was once crossing a river with the foremost esteemed student of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was considered the greatest logician in India at the time. But he had surrendered to Lord Chaitanya, and all his followers followed with him. So he had one disciple called Raghunanda, and that student had written a book about one point in philosophy. So he was crossing a river, and he told Lord Chaitanya, he said, Nimai, I've written one book about this part of our philosophy. And Nimai Pandit said, I've also written a book about that aspect of our philosophy. And then this devotee, Raghunandan, he wasn't like so pure yet, so he became devastated. Oh, you've written a book. Everyone's going to read your book, and they're not going to read my book about that philosophy. He was crushed because he put so much into it. So Lord Chaitanya, he took out his book and he started reading it. He'd written a book. It's about an important part of our philosophy. He'd written a whole book about it. And as he read it, Raghunanda was just crushed. He began crying and crying. He said, that's the same thing I've written, but because you've written it, everyone's going to read your book, they're not going to read my book. So Mahaprabhu said, you're a devotee of God. I don't want to disturb you. I don't want you to be sad. He took that book. Mahaprabhu took his book and threw it in the Ganga. It disappeared forever. Because he didn't want, he's very humble. He didn't want to cause distress to this devotee. Now, what do we do when we hear that? We become devastated. Because Lord Chaitanya, you know, as we understand, he basically just have what he penned the Shikshastakam, the eight prayers. But according to our acharyas, he actually wrote a book. But out of humility, he threw the book in the Ganga. Oh, we would love to have that book. It's like one devotee, a disciple of Gaur Govinda Maharaj, his name was Sachinandana Das. His father was a very astute and famous, his grandfather, his great-great-grandfather. He knew his great-great-grandfather. Like, this is an Orissa. And that personality, the great-great-grandfather, had a copy of a handwritten book written by Sridhar Swami. You know, Sridhar Swami is the original commentator on the Srimad Bhagavatam, I think 1,000 years ago. And we consider him one authority. Mahaprabhu considers him an authority on the Srimad Bhagavatam, because one time a devotee wrote a commentary which he said he thought was better than Sridhar Swami. So obviously, like, said, you're a prostitute. You can't take comment on, so you can't do better than what is Sridhar Swami doing. So taking his name and fame. And so, but this Sridhar Swami, so, and so many wonderful verses. There's many verses about Lord Nrisingadev, because he was actually a Nrisinga Bhakta. A lot of the Andras, Andhra Pradesh and Nrisinga Bhaktas, he was actually one of the main deities in the past age. People go to the temple to worship Nrisingadev. That's why there's so many Nrisinga temples in Dravidadesh, South India. Anyway, so he had a handwritten book, 1,000 years old, by this illustrious commentator on Sridhar Swami. That book should have been in some museum, it should have been in some library, some Gaudiya Vaishnava institute, protected by electric fences and, you know, guards and nuclear bombs. It's so valuable. He had this book. It was actually, it wasn't a book, it was the, what do you call the? Yeah, the paper, like they write on the bark, like that. Yeah, palm leaf. And he told me about this many years ago, and I always go to Orissa, and I wanted to see it. And one day I was at his house, and it was in the trunk. And I was like trembling, but then somebody's baby swallowed something, it was choking, you know, so we had to turn the baby upside down, and the piece of prasad came out, and then we, you know, set this up, and then I didn't see it. And next time I came, then he's just about to unlock it and show me this priceless thing, and then something happened next door, so we had to run next door. Three times it happened. I forget what happened the third time. And every time I was coming to India, I wanted to just take darshan of this book. I just wanted to touch it to my head and get some mercy. So then, the next time I came to India, and I met him in Dandabhanga, which is the place where Lord Nityananda broke the danda of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're going to take bath there. And I approached him. I said, please, this one, let me have darshan. He just turned white like a ghost and he began crying. He said, I lost it. I said, you lost it? He said, yeah, I was moving house. We moved house some months ago. And I said, I don't know how it happened. We had a lot of stuff, he said, a lot of stuff. And I lost it. I've looked everywhere. I can't find it. I said, did you tell your Guru Maharaj? Because his Guru Maharaj was Guru Govinda Maharaj, who was a pure devotee of the Lord. ISKCON. We didn't know, we weren't able to understand, but now we realize the great loss, such an advanced devotee. When he heard that Sarvabhauma had lost that scripture, he cried for 7 days nonstop. He didn't sleep, he didn't eat, he locked himself in his room, and he was weeping on his cot, on his bed. Because such a priceless thing was gone. So when Radhanath Swami told me the story about how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had written a book about an aspect of our philosophy, but out of humility, so as not to disturb a Vaishnava, he threw it in the river. You know, I almost started crying. These things are so... But this was a demonstration. So Mahaprabhu, he's in the mood of a devotee, so he didn't want to... His followers were instructed not to disturb them by calling him Vishnu, although they knew he was Vishnu. We discussed the other day. He was in disguise, but his intimate family members, his associates, they weren't fooled by the disguise. When Mahaprabhu was born on this day, Purnima, and there's a full moon eclipse today also. It's just very much like it was 500 years ago. Everyone was bathing in the Ganga, but Haridas Thakur and Advaita Chandra, they were dancing on the banks of the Ganga. Gauranga has come, Gauranga has come. And no one knew that Satyamati was delivering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because it was all hidden. It was hush-hush. But being his eternal associates, they knew what was happening. They alone were dancing on the banks of the Ganges. And it wasn't until later when Nimai revealed himself as Srivasangam, as the Supreme Personality. He took the Sadbuja form, the combined incarnations. And then wow, Nimai, you're God! Haridas was like, oh, I knew that from the very beginning. So hidden, but he wasn't hidden too long. He was hidden up until the pastime of revealing the Sadbuja, and then it became well known, and so forth. But for that reason, he was Channa. So Tri Yuga avatar, but in the age of Kali, Channa, hidden, because people would not follow, they would imitate. But gradually you couldn't, it was an open secret, you couldn't keep it, and he burst forth as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we, although he's Channa avatar, he's not a Leela avatar, we have to propagate his real glories. Krishna Varnan Tusha Krishnam Shangupanga Shaparshadam Yagnai Sankirtan Prayari Jantihi Sumedasa. Bhagavatam says very clearly that in the age of Kali, that person who appeared as bluish black form in Vrindavan and performed his eternal, now he's appeared in the Kali Yuga in a golden form, surrounded by his associates, and his astra, his weapon, is not his gada, not his chakra, but his weapon is his own holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare.
By which he will establish the Dharma of this age, chanting Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. Shri Gaur Purnima Maha Mahotsava ki. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki. Hare Krishna.
His Holiness the Maharaj ki.